Tacos are... Nachos are deconstructed tacos, I think.
Are you on Chopped? What is this? This is not...
Or at least, I mean, nachos are...
I think a taco salad is a deconstructed taco.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more accurate. A taco salad is a deconstructed taco. Or a tostada is...
an open-faced taco.
Yes. And also, but nachos except without... go.
Would you put ground chicken or beef? You would put... chicken on
a
tostada.
Are you talking about a chalupa now?
That's what I was about to say. Like, okay. What is the difference
between a chalupa
and a tostada? But I think a chalupa just has the cheese melted into...
A chalupa is a boat.
Yeah, of tortilla. That stores
a tortilla boat.
Yeah.
That stores cheese and
meat
fat
product.
And, yeah, meat.
Delicious.
That's what we give the kids. Actually, I don't know if they feed kids that anymore in LAUSD.
Now I have a source on the inside.
Ooh,
so yeah. I can report
Let's
back with
see what, Ayana has
what
to say.
Meals LA Unified is providing the city's youth with in the year of our Lord 2018. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Jules.
And this is Tangential, a podcast about the internet and the things that we do on it. Every single week, Jules and I go through our internet search histories and talk about the things that we find the most interesting and share that conversation with you every week for free. And I would usually say here that no one emails us. However, we did receive some listener mail, but we'll get to that at the end of the show.
Whose turn is it? I think I'm up first.
Oh, yes.
I've been writing it down in my handy-dandy notebook.
Wow. Let's go.
Thanks, Blues Clues.
It's coming back.
So I started Sharp Objects this week. This week. It's an HBO limited series starring Amy Adams.
Polar? Oh.
And it's based off of a book that was written by the same woman who wrote Girl on the Train and Gone Girl, I believe.
Damn.
She's got a lot
Damn.
To say and write.
Imagine doing both of those. Like both of those things did gangbusters.
She did it and she did this.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
What's it like being talented, I wonder?
So I'm at the end of the series, so if you haven't started it and are planning on starting it, maybe don't listen to this portion. Fast forward 5 minutes or so. If you have, listen with delight. Or if you're not interested in the show at all, feel free to listen completely. So... one of the characters in the show has Munchausen by proxy. Have you heard about this?
I have absolutely no idea what that is.
It typically, from what I've researched, it typically happens. It's very rare. It's a very rare psychological disorder. But when it does happen, it often happens to mothers who...
mothers being...
or a caretaker who seeks attention by seeking help from medical officials, and basically what they do is they make it seem like their child has a disease of some sort, and they fake the symptoms, or they say that their child is having symptoms for a particular disease in an effort to get people to care about not only their child,
but also
them, and also make them look like a savior, the caretaker look like a savior of some sort, because they have this ultimate purpose of being their child's guardian. Right. But oftentimes it results in the child dying, because immune systems aren't meant to be poisoned on the daily basis with rat poison and things of the like.
Oh, I did miss a crucial part of this, which is that those people make the kids sick.
They do, yeah. So not only did they fake the symptoms,
yeah.
So here are some of the signs. If a child is frequently hospitalized, not signs of someone having Munchausen's, but signs that a child is being...
Munchaused.
No. let me be clear, it's Munchausen by proxy. So if a child is frequently hospitalized, if... a child's blood samples don't match up to the blood of the child, and...
Hey, we're going to roll that one back. How do you do that?
A child's lab bloods. Yeah, so you send in blood, and then it's a complete... different blood type. Well, then the doctor knows something is up. Sometimes this can happen with doctors. Sometimes doctors will act in the place of a caretaker and say that a kid has symptoms that they don't have as well, because
that
the doctor themselves.
That part I understand, but how would a parent?
Mm-hmm. It's a disorder.
But how, logistically, how do you get?
Oh yes, so maybe they like find someone with the disease, and then they send that.
But
disease
you still
in,
have
but
to
then
go.
The blood type doesn't match up.
You completely. Still have to go to.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into okay. this. There's a lot of lying. There's falsifying of records. Sometimes they'll say that their kid is younger than they'll forge birth certificates to make it seem like the child, who may be a grown adult, is younger than perceived. What else? Obviously, if there's trace amounts of chemicals in their bloodstream or urine, then they might be affected by someone who has Munchausen by proxy. Lots of times a physician has a hard time diagnosing a child who appears to be sick because their parent says that they are sick, because the symptoms are not consistent.
Right.
So
with existing.
A caretaker who has Munchausen by proxy might come in with their child and say, hey, my kid has not been eating, my kid has had blood in their urine, my kid has been coughing. And then the doctor looks at the child seems completely fine. But if the parent says that the child has all right. of these symptoms, why would the physician
not believe?
Exactly.
Also because like that's the kind of stuff that might happen a handful of times, but it would still be indicative of something being wrong, but you also can't find that.
Right. And lots of times the caretaker with Munchausen by proxy might, or lots of times they act super friendly to physicians and have a really great relationship with physicians. So physicians really have no basis to go off. They have no idea that the parent might not be thinking in the child's best interest, or might be poisoning them in some shape or form. So yeah, I just found a lot about Munchausen.
Cool.
By proxy.
What's the show about?
Sharp Objects is a very, very dark show.
I'm out.
Yeah, I don't know if I should tell you the premise. I think you wouldn't like me even talking about it. Well, it's a murder mystery.
Okay.
Two murders. They're not very pleasant.
Are they kid murders?
Yeah. It's in a small town.
Bummer.
Two girls go missing. One's dead. One, they don't know if she's dead or missing. Then they find out she's dead.
Dang.
And
I'm out.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, honestly. There's lots of flash. Amy Adams plays a woman who used to live in the town and then comes back. She's a journalist. She's an alcoholic. She cuts herself and she writes awful words all over her body. And it's really dark. Amy Adams didn't want to do this series. She didn't want to. Sharp Objects is a limited series. It could have been brought on for season two because it has had critical acclaim and lots of viewership. I think viewership is even up from Big Little Lies, which was HBO's huge hit from the spring, last spring, I think. But Amy Adams refused to do another series, and I think HBO agreed with her because it's such dark subject matter. Yeah. She didn't want to get into that headspace again. And in my opinion, it's not something that's enjoyable to watch in the way that Big Little Lies might be enjoyable to watch, even though Big Little Lies has dark themes in it. There's a certain amount of campiness to it as well, because you have Reese Witherspoon, Laura Dern, and just all these actors together. And there's a little bit of, oh, that's funny that Reese Witherspoon acts like this, not a soccer mom, but she's a mom, and you get to see that, and she doesn't play that character very much, and the drama circulates around children, so there's a little bit of campiness in that. Big Little Lies doesn't have any, or Sharp Objects doesn't really give you any room to breathe. It's really difficult to watch, and lots of people I know have just stopped watching it because they can't take it anymore. Not that it's something that didn't interest them anymore. It's just that it was just too much for them to watch, and they didn't want to take it in anymore because it was that dark. So, yeah, that series is going to
win a bunch of Emmys, is what you're saying.
I think Amy Adams is definitely going to get... It would be for 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Amy Adams, at the very least, deserves a nomination, if not taking it, taking the award altogether. So that was my dive into HBO's limited series, Sharp Objects. Catch it. This Sunday is the series finale. One cool thing about that show, I will say, is that it opens... There's this theme of music and vinyl throughout the entire show, and the title sequence always starts with someone dropping a needle, and then it starts the theme song. Each week it's a different song.
Oh, that's cool.
I thought it was pretty cool too, and the music always fits so well with just all the images that flash by. The editing of that show is superb. It goes in and out of time, and it's just really good. This week's Castle Rock also did a really good job with editing. It focused on Sissy Spacek's character. She has Alzheimer's, and, well, they don't know if it's Alzheimer's. They can only diagnose Alzheimer's once someone's dead, apparently, because then they get to see what's on the brain. Yeah.
Oh, because it's dementia beforehand.
That's what they said in the show. I didn't look this up, but maybe I could.
It's like CTE.
Mm-hmm. So it was taken from her perspective, and it wasn't just how she lives life, but also how she feels about her life. And each moment in her life, she's been tracking with these chess pieces that she puts around the house. And then whenever she sees the chess piece or touches it, she's brought back to that time. It was
like
a really cool
film
episode.
Memento.
Memento is with the tattoos on the body, but these are like port keys almost, like in Harry Potter, where she's transported to a time. It almost feels like a parallel universe because she can interact with these people as well.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. What else did I look up this week? So for the Nacho Night tonight, someone is bringing a board game called What Do You Meme? And I had never heard of it.
What do you mean?
So I looked it up, and SourceFed had a video about What Do You Meme? Where have you watched SourceFed videos before?
Rest in peace, yeah.
Basically, you just get a meme.
Oh, what do you meme?
Yeah, not what do you mean.
I hate this game.
You've tried it before?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't like this game.
I've seen it. I think it depends on the crowd.
Yes, definitely. I think what do you meme has the same... It fires the same synapses
as,
in my
cards
brain.
Is
exactly.
Cards against
it's
humanity.
Cards, like... Cards, at a certain point, stops being... I think this is not a problem unique to cards, because there are so many cards against humanity is like the mainstream renaissance for the idea of the like party / board game. But like cards against humanity, if played incorrectly or played lazily, stops being about the explicit combinations, but just playing to make the person who is judge. Like, the game stops being fun because people are playing the game, if that makes any sense.
Another thing I looked up this week was Helm's Bakery District in
Culver City. Yeah.
Just because we went to Pasta Sisters, Sid, Mads, Nayla, and I went to Pasta Sisters on Wednesday after work, and I thought there was a bakery there because it's called Helm's Bakery District. And I thought there was a bakery called Helm's Bakery. And we walked, after we had had pasta, we walked around the whole district in pursuit of this bakery. There is no bakery.
No, because it closed like 50 years ago.
Yeah, but there is an open warehouse. Will they put a bakery back in there, or are they going to put an HD Buttercup? I don't understand.
They are opening a bar. They're either opening or it just opened some sort of bar restaurant
with
combo.
Bread.
Yes, I think so.
There better be bread, because the bread in the photos looks amazing.
Yeah.
But there is actually a French bakery there. It's not that great.
Wow.
It's across from Pasta Sisters. I don't remember the name, and I don't feel like I should bash them, but their awnings are red.
Oh yeah, that's really gonna narrow it down.
I'm telling you, it's right across from Pasta Sisters. The last thing I looked up was how to get my MoviePass refund. MoviePass is refunding, and no, it still exists, but MoviePass is refunding, anyone who had an annual subscription because they're no longer offering their unlimited plan at all. So people who signed up for this unlimited plan, paying $89.95, I believe, for the service, can no longer receive that service. You can only see 3 movies a month, and the movies you can see are extremely limited. So MoviePass has decided to refund the customers who paid $89.95 or so.
How much are you getting back?
The full amount.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yes, it does. Well, because I paid for a service and I'm no longer getting it. I was promised a service and I'm no longer getting it.
But you did get it for...
But I still have half a year to go.
From their standpoint, a company that does not have any money, mm-hmm. I feel like it would make more financial sense if they prorated.
Can we talk about how nothing this company has done has made any financial sense whatsoever? I think they're more worried about being sued. They You're could right. totally be sued.
That's true. It's mind blowing to me that they're doing this. A that they physically have the money to do this, and B that they are giving everyone full refunds.
They got. I think the amount of people who paid for a year's service,
or is, like you, that they charged a full service without,
right,
without actually signing up for one.
Yeah, I think that number of people is significantly less than the people that paid month to month.
Yeah,
I think it's your turn, Nikki. I'm
rest
done.
In peace, MoviePass. Well, I guess it's not dead. Rest on your way to peace, MoviePass. They have sent me more. MoviePass has sent me more emails
than since they ever have.
Since I have canceled MoviePass, than they ever had in the half a year that that I had it. Okay, this week, man. Imagine if we had an ad break one day. This week.
What if we just did music in between?
Like that.
Nice. Just an interlude to give people a break.
Yeah.
Of our voices.
That's what the ad break is for. Our voices. So I talked about it, or hinted at it last week, but I got my Roly Seaboard and light pad, and the loop block, and I just am so overwhelmed with it because I don't know how to read or play music at all, and I fundamentally don't understand any music theory. So I've been trying to make myself not feel bad about the fact that I spent money on these things so I can actually use them in the future. And I have been using the internet because I don't have I can't take classes right now, even though that would be cool. I'm like using the internet and like trying to find YouTube channels that, will help me learn how to play the piano, and I found a handful. And then I was like, oh, lynda.com is a thing that exists. And they have like piano classes on lynda.com. But
Is it called lynda.com?
Unclear.
Did Lynda make all of the classes?
No, the person in this video is definitely not named Lynda.
Maybe Lynda was his or her mom.
Maybe.
Who taught them how to play piano?
But there's on lynda.com, there's a lynda.com, if you don't know, is like a educational video repository that costs a bunch of money. But for college students and I think recent grads, this is the wall that I hit. The class costs, if you get it on its own, like $75 or something. But if you have a subscription to lynda.com, you don't have to pay anything. And I offhandedly remember Danny, Professor Plotnick, my film professor back at USF, saying that we all got subscriptions to lynda.com and to Canopy. And I don't know if those are still valid now that I've graduated. So I need to like do some digging and find out. But there are piano classes and learn to play the piano classes and music theory classes. So I'm going to start doing those at lunch. But in the meantime, I've just been trying to learn how to play songs by ear, which is extremely difficult because I don't have the muscle memory down for the keys on the piano yet. So like the only thing that I know is that
what you're doing is more difficult than reading music.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like that. And I don't know why I'm doing it this way.
Successfully do that, you don't need to learn how to play music.
I've taught myself 2 songs and I'm going to play both of the extent to both of them that I know them now. And I did figure out how to get it. You just heard it. Get the piano to come directly into the recording. So it's not going to be me putting the microphone on top of a speaker like it was last time. Okay. So I tweeted about this, but there are a handful of songs that I've been kind of like thinking about, mainly because to me, at least they are, the melodies are simple and they're easy for me to like pick out with my ears. And they are mostly from games. And then there's one 21 Pilots song where the intro is, it's like piano. It's just like five. So that song is, called Screen by 21 Pilots. And then the other two songs are the Fallout 4 theme song and the Dragon Age Inquisition theme song. And the Screen is really easy is what I've learned, because it is, or at least the part that I've learned, quote, learned. It's C. Nope. You can't hear this is the thing that I'm realizing.
And I cannot.
Jules can't hear it.
I can hear it from your headphones.
Oh, you can?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's probably not good.
Soft.
So now Jules can hear. So here's what I've got. I've got this, which is the beginning of Screen by 21 Pilots. Nope. There's that part. That's it. That's all I know. That's all I've got. It's like six notes. And then the Dragon Age Inquisition thing, which was really difficult. Super difficult to learn because I found sheet music for it, because obviously it exists. But I can't read it. I don't know what it means. The only thing that it was helpful for was to figure out timing, because like the spaces are even depending on like how much time is in between each note before it breaks down to the second line. Don't know what any of the shapes mean. There are so many shapes on a piece of sheet music. Mm-hmm. Some of the notes have like curly things on the edge of them. So there's like colons in there. There's lines that are like, that look like threes, except
why
the top is flat.
Why don't you ask Ayana? She can totally help you.
Yeah, I need to do that. But like, it's a timing thing. Because like, by the time I'm back, it's the whole thing. Don't have siblings who were in high school when you're like working a job, because then your timing never works out and you don't see each other ever. It's rough. So the other song I learned is just the beginning of the Dragon Age Inquisition theme, which is another part of the thing that I was talking about or looking up this week, because I forgot about that game until the song came into my head. Dragon Age Inquisition is like it's from 2014. Jeez, it's been 4 years. Role-playing game in the Dragon Age series, and Dragon Age is like it's a fantasy. It is what it is. Like, there are dragons and stuff, and it's like kingdoms and magic, and that kind of stuff. But it is very much a story based on the people who live in that world. And it's a game that like focuses very heavily on interpersonal relationships and your character's relationship with the other people in that world, and their romances and your enemies and that kind of stuff. It's really cool. It's a very good game. Did not realize it came out 4 years ago until I just now thought about it. It has been so long since that game came out. But there's a moment in that game, I don't feel bad about spoiling it because it's a 4-year-old game, where it's not really that big of a spoiler. You basically lose a battle. All the people who live in your town lose a crucial battle, and you all, like everybody in the game, sings this song, and the song is called The Dawn Will Come. And it's a really, it's a cheesy moment. I won't say that it isn't a cheesy moment, but like it's trying to do something, and that like got me, and it got me to tear up. It's very fun. Everybody should go play it. And the link is in the description. But here's that. Nope. Anyway, that's all I've got.
Pretty cool. You're
learning. Yeah, I'm learning. I'm getting somewhere. I don't know what the fuck to do with this light block, though. Like, this, I don't know what this is. Like, I have absolutely no idea what to do with this.
I don't know.
Do you want to describe this square?
It's a gray square with a matte encasing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it lights up.
Yep.
And, yep.
That's
it. Is it a battery pack? I don't
know. Nope. So, you, hypothetically, I've watched many a YouTube video where disembodied hands come from underneath the screen and then start tapping on it, and music happens, like very cool, extremely cool and good music. But when I use it, it's bad. So I fundamentally do not understand how this thing that I've purchased works. And I cannot find, there are no tutorials that are like,
that's weird.
Not here's how it website. Goes. No, it's like, here's how to make a bass line, but then it skips the part where like you figure out what notes are which, or like how to make it make consistent noises. So that part I don't understand. So if anyone at Rolly wants to just hop into the DMs, just let me know. Now that I've actually purchased your product and I'm not asking for free products. So just get at me. You mentioned last week that you were learning how to play the harmonica.
Yeah.
How's that? Have you spit into a box anymore?
I basically
anymore?
Just know happy birthday, and I've been learning some other things.
Wait. Is that it?
No,
I can't.
In harmonica, it's 6-7-7-6-7. No. Have you heard happy birthday before?
I can't hear. I don't know what the.
Oh, right. You don't have the headphones. It's like. Bum, bum.
Is this one too high or too low?
It's too high. No. No, they're all too high. A little bit higher? Maybe? No.
This is good audio.
This is very bad. I'm sorry.
What else? Okay, so, you were saying just the harmonica, that's the only thing that you know is happy birthday.
On the harmonica? Yeah. Ba ba black sheep. Like all the nursery rhymes I got, I just have memorized the numbers, but I haven't actually memorized the chords. They're chords because, I think just because I've never played music before. I've only ever sang in a chorus and only had to learn music that way, but in no other way.
Is this C? Is that C? Who knows? Nail polish.
Yeah.
Is a thing I looked up. Because I had my nails painted for the last 2 weeks. And then I had to take the nail polish off because they were chipping.
Ooh, I have stuff to say about this, but continue.
Okay. They were chipping real bad, so I had to remove the nail polish. Which is easier for some reason. I was like, it's going to just be such a hassle. It's not a hassle at all. However, the immediate thing that I like went through this process twice. So I got them painted and I looked down and was like, what is wrong with my fingernails? Every time, like for the first day and a half after I got them painted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh no, you dumb idiot. You got them painted.
Right.
And then afterwards, now every time I look at my hand, I'm like, what is wrong with my fingernails? Because there's no paint on them.
I actually feel the same way when nail polish is on my hands. It's a surprise. I don't really have my nails painted because I use my hands too much and they get messed up anyway.
Yeah, I also don't think, because like the way that my fingernails were chipping was like from me going like this.
Oh
into
my
things.
God.
I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were asleep, but. Scare the shit out of Kalina. She loves this so much that she passed out from excitement. They were chipped in such strange ways that I feel like were abnormal because I was using my hands normally.
You should just get a gel manicure next time.
Yeah, I think that might be the plan.
So, one of the things I hate most about nail polish is taking it off afterwards. You have to use a whole bottle of nail polish remover and a bunch of cotton swabs, and it smells awful, and it kills brain cells, and it's not good.
Nope.
You have to use a bunch of cotton balls. I hate it. And it's bad for your nails. It makes them very brittle, and it's not good. But I found this thing in my closet. I don't remember the brand. This may be completely unhelpful, but they make these pouches that are like, okay, I thought it was like a vaginal wipe, so I was like, why do we have these in my bathroom cabinet? I mean, I'd know why we'd have them, but like, usually that's not something we have in our house. But it turns out they were packets with a very, like, a drenched wipe, essentially, that is twice the normal thickness of a wipe, and you just use that one wipe and it'll take off all of the polish on your hands, and you don't have to bother with cotton balls or the jar or the like bottle of acetone or nail polish remover, because it's all in this one contained pocket, like a makeup wipe.
Truly.
So everyone should go get those. I think they're revolutionary.
I got some of the acetone on my leg and I thought I was going to burn a hole in it.
It's not good. I hate it.
They're like parrots or whatever. They're parrots, I think. I'm pretty sure they're like parrots who escaped from someone's house living
or
in one of the trees.
Or a burned down pet store.
Yeah.
That's what happened in Sierra Madre.
Huh.
It's a thing.
There was like a gaggle of parrots that lived inside of one of the trees at Pack. Or sorry, not at Pack, at Rosewood.
Oh, I was going to say in the avocado tree.
Also, another fun random bird story from elementary school. One time we were just hanging out in the kindergarten classroom when we were in kindergarten. And then a pelican flew in to the classroom and just kind of hung out, and everyone screamed and ran outside.
What a great story.
The last thing is I was looking up jobs to work at museums. Science museums, not for me, for Emily. Because she is looking for jobs and I'm trying to convince her to move here. And then I found out that they have work visas. Like America and Australia have a partnership. And I'll leave it to you guys to figure out why you think that is. Where they will just send over thousands of people for jobs. And all you have to do is just apply, and then the government of both Australia and the US will figure out a way to like get you the visa as long as you are working in, quote, a skilled or scientific position. So if Emily gets a job at a science museum, then she gets a visa for, I think it's like a 2-year visa or something. And then from that point, you can figure out how you are going
to
stay.
That'd be cool. I really like Emily. It'd be fun to have her here.
Yeah, there's a job opening at the Natural History Museum. You don't realize how few science museums there
are. Nods into Mike.
There are not that many science museums.
There's a science center.
There's a science center, the Natural History Museum.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I guess, I don't know, does working in a zoo count as scientific research? Because they're also...
I guess so. Yeah, so I guess zoos also exist. And then there's like the La Brea Tar Pits, which I did not know. The Natural History Museum runs that.
I did know that.
I did not know that. I, for some reason, thought that the La Brea Tar Pits was, like, its own
thing. Page Museum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a Natural History Museum.
Joint. Also, the Griffith Observatory.
Is that them, too?
Oh, no. I was saying that's another science museum.
Oh. But, yeah, but they're not, like, exhibits. There are exhibits in the...
Yes, there are.
But they don't rotate.
No, it's...
It's, like, it's been that way since they reopened it, and, like, there's no...
Sometimes they have different nights within the...
inside the dome, but, like, they don't do... There's not, like, a rotation.
I mean, once
stuff.
Science changes, I guess.
Yeah, science hasn't changed in a while, so... once we figure out some new science, we'll probably get there. Yeah. Why isn't the Griffith Observatory burned down? It seems like very fortuitous.
It's very high up.
It's really high up there. Everything around it has burned down, but not the Griffith
Observatory. I mean, there isn't a lot of shrubbery around it. It's, I feel like everything around it could burn,
but not
it. But because there's so much parking lot and there's so much,
I guess,
just grass.
Yeah. It is weird to me that it hasn't burned down. For as long as it has been there, it is strange to me. And for as many times as that hill has been on fire.
Right.
It is wild to me that that hasn't burned down. It also wild that the Hollywood sign hasn't burned down.
It would be really cool to see the Hollywood
God,
sign on fire.
God, it would be so cool. It would be so cool. Did
it
that happen in
the
film
This
Is
the
End?
Yeah. And also, I think BoJack Horseman. But maybe not. I think the D just... Hollywood.
Remember when that guy put the... Put the drape over.
Hollyweed.
Yeah, and it was Hollyweed. That was funny.
Hilarious.
It's comedy.
Hilarious.
It's like for the 420 joke, the weed number.
I think it was just because weed was legalized. That's why. It wasn't actually 420. Yeah.
Damn. Imagine if you did it on 420. Probably would have been like maybe 2 times as funny.
No, I
three
think.
3 times.
I think on the day that. Like it's more of a political statement on the day that it was legalized.
But what about like. Do you think it would have been like 69 times funnier or like Stop. How many times funnier? We have an email. Here's the email theme. Is that good?
It went duh, duh,
duh. That's our email theme until I can write an email theme. All right, so we have an email. This email comes in from Josh Carter, Philadelphia resident, Philadelphia Union fan, the resurgent Philadelphia Union. I haven't talked about Major League Soccer on this show in a while. You're welcome.
Noah, yeah. Pika.
Noah, yeah, you're welcome, Noah. Yeah, but Josh and I used to listen to a show called Straight Red, which Jeff Ross and Alex Kibler used to make, I guess, almost 4 years ago now. Jeez, time goes by so fast. Anyway, Josh sent us an email.
So actually,
this is a tremendous idea, Josh. Also, thanks for emailing.
Yeah, great idea. I actually believe this could be a segment for each month. We can just share. We can call
it Josh's Amazon Corner.
That's exactly what it's going to be called. See what happens when you email in? Things get named after you.
Do you have anything fun?
Kalina's upset because she doesn't have a segment named after her.
Kalina, email the show. It's not hard. TangentialPod@gmail.com. It's not hard. None of the things.
Why can't we have a P.O. box?
We need people to listen to the show first. And then they can send us stuff. How do we want to approach this? How far back do we want it?
Go this week.
Parting the kimono. Okay. We're going to go this week. All right.
Parting the kimono.
That's the phrase. Yeah. Parting the kimono. What do you got?
So I pre-ordered Negro Swan by Blood Orange. It should be out October 5th. Really good album. Really excited about it. Just came out on the 24th. I'm obsessed with it. Oh, yeah. Kalina uses this GNC aloe cream from Amazon that's like 99 cents, and it's so good, never shares it, so yeah, I ordered my own. It just absorbs into your skin so quickly, and there's no residue, it's not oily at all, and it's 99 cents, magic. Why doesn't everyone use it? And the last thing I ordered was actually another record. It's called Before and After Science by Brian Eno. And it should be here soon.
Cool. Here's my search history on Amazon.com from Sunday. Last Sunday. The Roly Seaboard, which is this cool thing. The Tenda 3-pack mesh router system. And then I, on one day, pre-ordered 4 video games because Amazon is destroying the way I purchase video games. Mm-hmm. If you have Amazon Prime, you get 20% off of any physical pre-order for a video game, minus a handful of publishers, because that means that those publishers get less money because Amazon is like cutting off the
right top.
But basically, for every other video game, it's just a flat, straight up 20%, which is a lot. It basically makes games, it eliminates the tax, and it's like another $10. So it like makes games $40 instead of being $60. Or somewhere in there, $50, close to $50. But they are ending that next week, and they are replacing it with, they will give you a $10 credit, like a $10 Amazon credit, which is less money. They're also ruining it, Twitch Prime, because Twitch Prime, you also get, if you have Amazon Prime, gives you a free subscription on Twitch every month, which basically means that you can give the creator, the streamer that you are watching, $2.50, like straight up every single month. Which is choice, because it means that I'm taking money directly out of Jeff's pocket, putting into someone else's. So that's cool. And you also they give out games, that are not playable if you have a Mac, and then they give out a bunch of, free stuff in games like Fortnite and PUBG. And that part's kind of cool. Except it's, none of it is exclusive, because basically everybody on the planet has Amazon Prime. So it just means that your pickaxe is purple. But the best thing about it was that you didn't have to watch ads anymore, but they're taking that away, and now you'll have to watch ads.
I'm sorry.
The worst. I on purpose pay Google every month so I don't have to watch YouTube ads, and now Twitch is threatening to make me pay more money for Turbo so I don't have to watch ads. Terrible. Anyway, I pre-ordered Doom Eternal, Hitman 2, Metroid Prime 4, which does not have a release date. Doom also doesn't have a release date. And The Division 2, because someone on Amazon made a mistake, and that game was listed digitally for only $48, which means it's only $24 for me, because I'm going to split it with Jeff. But yeah, thanks for this amazing idea, Josh. It's replacing the Odyssey segment, because that segment, I'm just going to go ahead and say it wasn't good.
It worked for a bit.
Yeah, we did it 3 times.
We would always forget that we had to
every single week. This is better. Is that it? Anything else, Kalina? You have any? You want to give us some live feedback on this show? She's shaking her head no. She did fall asleep. I cannot stress enough. I said it before. She's just so excited to be in the room where it was happening that she just passed out. And I saved her life, really, by punching the boxes on the shelf nearby.
Did you think it was an earthquake or something? I don't understand, Kalina.
It was part of a bit, and I slammed my hand into these boxes. Should have been there. Imagine if you were awake. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week. This episode of Tangential, brought to you by your company here, Audible.com.
/tangential.
Don't go there yet. It doesn't exist. Or are we close? I don't think we're close.
Wait, I thought we could just do it.
No, there's like a threshold you have to meet, because a human person checks it. The more people you tell about this show, the closer we'll get to being able to give you an advertisement at the beginning, middle, and end of this show. So share it with your friends. You can go to tangential.xyz to listen to this episode and every other episode that we've ever done. And it's got show notes and links to all the things we talk about, and it's real cool. You can also find our theme song. Wait, I'm doing this super out of order. My brain is falling apart.
Sorry. I'm kind of hungry again.
Yeah, same. I think that's why my brain is
hungry,
falling
Kalina?
Apart. Okay, cool. I'm going to start it over, but not cut out the part I just did.
Cool.
You can find... Nope. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Tangential. Thanks for listening. You can find the show on Twitter at @tangential_. You can find me on twitter.com. @GodSeal. You can find Jules on Twitter at @JSClinic. She does not use the service, but the Twitter account exists. Kalina, do you have Twitter? She does not have Twitter. You can find me on Instagram at @ChasingGrace. You can find Jules on Instagram at @JSClinic. You can find Kalina on Instagram at @KJClinic. Every single week, well, except for last week, we put social video up on our Instagram. It's real fun, real cool. You can go watch it. It lives in our stories. And I guess since I mentioned Kalina's handle, it'll also be there. So you can email us at tangentialpod@gmail.com. And if you do it, you might get a segment named after you. Think about how cool that is. Josh emailed us and now he has a segment named after him. You should do it. You can find our theme song, because Louis Zong is amazing. Thanks, Louis. Blackberry Jam off of the album Jam 2. You can go download it at louiszong.bandcamp.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @everydaylouis. I said the wrong handle last week. It's at @everydaylouis. And he's doing fun stuff. He just animated a bit of... I like how every single week I give a tiny update on what Louis is doing. He animated part of Sean Wasabi's music video for Squeeze that came out this week. That's real cool. Is that it? Find the show at tangential.xyz. That's it. We've done the thing.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.